President Truman group of men associated with the National Advertising Council of America in the old state building, the 5th of March, 1952.
Mr. President, I've already said a few preliminary remarks about the program for the afternoon. Glad to see you and General Collins come in together. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Thank you, President. Appreciate that very much. I didn't intend you to give me a double dose. I'm glad you're back here again. I think your coming here and listening to the people who actually run the government is of some satisfaction to you and of some use to the country. There are a great many misapprehensions on what goes on in the great city of Washington, and if you're not careful, you'll get a wrong notion of your public service. Most of them, all of them, I'll say, are honest, conscientious people who work a great deal more, put in a great deal more time than is actually required of them. Take my own case, for instance. My day begins at 5:30 in the morning, and it usually winds up about 11 or 11:30 at night. 17 hours a day, 365 days a year. And one of my chores is simply to sign my name. That's 600 times a day on the average, 365 days a year, which is quite a chore itself. Then from, oh, I'd say about 9 o'clock until 5 or 6, I think, John, am I correct? I see people all day long and talk to them principally, trying to get them to do what they ought to do without being talked to. And that's also a rather difficult job. You see, the president's office is not an office of the power that would lead you to believe. Of course, he's the executive of the most powerful nation in the world at the present time. But the objective is a matter of public relations. In order to put a program over, it's necessary that people understand what that program is. And the president has to be a super salesman, not only to the public, but to his own family, to be sure that they understand exactly what the objective is. You gentlemen are in the business of making people believe something's all right. I don't think any of you spend your time trying to make people think something's all wrong, because if you did, you wouldn't be very good advertising men, and you wouldn't be a good salesman, and that's what all of you are. That's all I'm supposed to be, is a super salesman who tries to get people to understand that the policy on which the administration which I represent was elected is the right policy for the benefit of the most people in the country. That's all there is to the presidency, really. The biggest job that he has, however, is the responsibility for foreign relations. Under present conditions, it is necessary that our foreign policy be a continuing one. And it has been a continuing policy since 1938. There's been no change in it, whatever. I've had 4 secretaries of state since I've been president, and there has been no change at all in the foreign policy of the government of the United States. All those men were fine gentlemen and capable men. I think I have now the greatest one that's ever been in the office, and I'm very proud of that, to tell you the truth. I'm also very proud of all the rest of my cabinet officers. They're all capable, efficient, and do a wonderful job. I'm also responsible in another capacity as Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of the United States, and that's an active, busy job. It's my responsibility to appoint the chiefs of staff of the various forces, the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. It's also my responsibility to appoint the secretaries who are directly responsible to me for their operation. also appoint the Secretary of Defense, who, since the coordination of the three services under one Secretary of Defense is a tremendous job. I have a most efficient man in that job now. Four of the men who are responsible to me have just returned from one of the most important meetings that's ever been held in the history of this government at Lisbon, Portugal, where the allies who are against the communist aggressive tactics organized themselves into a body for the purpose of preventing further aggression by the Soviet Union. I'm going to discuss that meeting at some length on Thursday night at 10:30, and I'm right now telling you, advertising men, you better listen in. You'll learn something that's good for you. At the morning of that day at 12 o'clock, I'll send a message down on the mutual security program, and we'll outline in some detail what the objective is and at what point we hope to arrive. And that point is just one objective. We've never wanted anything but peace in the world. Since May the 8th, 1905, the objective of the foreign policy of the United States has been to find a solution of misunderstandings without shooting at each other. The $400 billion that was spent by us alone in that war, and the immense treasure and destruction that was brought about by that war, was totally unnecessary. There was no reason for it at all. Now we're making every endeavor possible to prevent a repetition of that thing on a greater scale. Another war on the same sort of a scale or a greater one than the Second World War, I think, would probably put a terminus to our civilization as we know it. And those things are actions for destruction. All that $400 billion of ours went into weapons for destruction, went into the maintenance of men who were trained for destruction. They had to be. If we could have spent one-third of that sum on the development of the resources of the world, there would be no reason for anybody to fight. There's enough room, there's enough good land, there's enough know-how in this world to give everybody in it, and twice as many more, everything to eat and wear that he wants. That's the main objective that I'm aiming for. That's been the objective, my objective, ever since I've been president of the United States. I appreciate the privilege of giving you this rambling discussion of some of the things that the president is responsible for. I've only named three of his jobs. He has two more that would be an all-day job for one man. But they're constitutional, and he can't very well delegate the responsibility. I've got a little motto on my desk that says, "The buck stops here," and it does.